Dang. Is it
This
on? Yes,
meeting is
okay.
being recorded.
Got okay. Just you in the crowd. All right. Okay. So, morning, everyone. So we left off on Mem Bays Amud Aleph. Well, five lines up from the bottom, and we're up to a little bit of a new section. All right, a little bit confusing for a few lines, and then it gets not so confusing again, but we'll do it. Here we go. So we're talking about just the context. We're talking about the machlokas between, basically in the Mishnah, machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What is the status of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin? The Gemara then went on to discuss how can you have a case of a Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Chorin when it's one person freeing them. Does that work? Can you do a half a freedom, half a redemption? But okay, be that as it may, one way or another, you could get to the situation of someone being a Chatzi Eved Kanani and Chatzi Ben Chorin, especially if you had two masters, and that's the case that the Mishnah is discussing. So if a person has two masters and one of them frees him and the other one doesn't, so Beis Shammai says that we force the other master to free him because otherwise he's stuck, half slave, part of him can't marry a free Jewish woman, the half free part of him can't marry a Shifcha Kanani, so he'll never fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu or Lashavas Yatzra. So therefore you have to force the second master to free him so he'll be totally free. Beis Hillel initially argues and says the concept that he is a free man one day and he's a slave the next day, back and forth, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they switch off. Ultimately, even Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai because of this Puravu problem that you have to force him to be freed. So I guess this right now, we're discussing a case you're trying to say where seemingly he's been forced to be freed, but we're not yet up to that freedom. He hasn't yet had it. So he's still somehow a Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Chorin. So what happens in the following case? So Nagcho Shor,
I don't agree that half that Chatzi means half, or is it day off the
day
day?
day. Now everybody agrees it would mean day. I mean, the only possibility would be one Sunday for me, Monday for
Right,
you.
so if that's the case,
Yeah.
who says you can't do for a review?
Oh, that's
You can't
literally
get
the
married.
Gemara. Wow,
Is that
that's literally
right? You
okay.
can't
Very
get
good question. The Gemara is going to get to that. Wow. See what happens if you
Because that's
learn
not the
for
Gemara.
7, 9, 19 straight years. Nagcho Shor Yom Shel Rabo. Oh, so let's say he gets killed by an ox. Sorry, not killed. He gets injured. He gets gored by an ox. This half Eved, half free man. So if it happens in the Yom Shel Rabo LaRabo, Yom Shel Atzma LaAtzma. If it happens, let's say Sunday is his master's day to get the benefits of his production. Sunday's his master's day. So if he gets gored on Sunday, so the fine would go to his master. But if he gets gored on his own day, sorry. Oh, if he gets gored on his own day, then the money goes to himself. So that's what this Braisa says. So if that's the case, then that's Ari's question. The Gemara says, Elameata, if you want to tell me that it's like every other day he's free, he's a slave, he's free, he's a slave, that's how we view him. Intrinsically, his status changes from day to day. Okay. Elata, Yom Larabo, Yom Shel Rabo, Yisa Shifcha. So on Sunday, when he's owned by his master, he should marry a Shifcha Kananis, because that day he's an Eved Kanani. Yom Shel Atzmo, on Monday, it's like happy days. On Monday, now that I've ever watched it, on Monday, where he's owned by himself, Yisa Bas Chorin, and he can marry a free woman, a Jewish woman. So the Gemara says, no, Isura lo kamrinam. What it means is we don't mean this from like a fundamental intrinsic standpoint that his status changes from day to day. He is still a half slave. Like that will always be part of him. And he's also half Jewish. That will always be part of him, which is the problem that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree upon in the end. Even Beis Hillel agrees that we have to deal with. That's why you have to force the other master. From a monetary perspective, from a compensation perspective, we mean he could switch off days. That's ultimately what the Gemara says. That's an important categorization. All right. So here, a little bit confusing. It's going to be the next few lines, but I think it's fine. Tashma. So now we're going to have another price, which ultimately is going to challenge this idea that from a compensation perspective, he gets paid this price that we just saw. He gets paid. The payment goes to whoever owns him that day. Hamis mi shechetzio eved bechetzio ben chorin. So now we're not talking about an injury. We're talking about an ox that would kill. Let's say Chas Shalom kills someone who is a half slave and half ben chorin. Let's say it's a shorah muad. It's a fully warned ox. So what would be the who gets the money then? So normally, since it's a fully warned ox, so this is shoram uad, so the money would go, you'd give kofar payment to the person that you kill. If Reuven's ox, which is a muad, kills Shimon, so Reuven owes the value of Shimon's life, his kofar, what he could be sold for in the marketplace, to Shimon's yarshim. He owes that money to him. If he kills an Eved Kanani, then he owes a fine of 30 shkalim to the Eved Kanani's master. Those are the two possibilities. So let's say Reuven's ox, which is a shor muad, gores to death somebody who's a half Eved, half ben chor. So Hamis mishechatu Eved nechatu ben chorim, nosin chatzi knas l'rabo. So he gives a half penalty to his master, which means he's going to give 15 shkalim to the master. Vechatzi kofer liyarsha, and he's going to give half of his value. Let's say he could be sold for $500,000. He'll give $250,000 to the yarshim of the person who was killed. Amai, but why is that the halacha? Hachi nami lema yom shel rabo l'rabo yom shel atmas. We should say the same thing. That if he gets gored to death on a Sunday where he is owned by his rabbi, by his master, the entire 30 shekels knas should go to his master. If he gets gored to death on a Monday where he is owned by himself, the entire $500,000 should go to his yarshim. So no, shiny hacha, dika kalya karna. Now this is different because it totally ate up the principle. The previous case that we had, the Braisa, where you go day by day, goes to the master, goes to him, that's what we're talking about, a payment of sheves for that day, let's say, a lack of compensation for that day that you're going to have to pay to whoever lost a compensation that day because you own that day's compensation. But here, where the principle is forever gone, now we go back to the court, to the source, and Lamaisa, he was half free, half Eved, so you're going to pay half the payment of the death to each of those sources. Okay. The Ella, Heichi Dami Delo Kal Yekarin. Okay, so wait, if you mean to tell me that when the principle gets eaten up, then we ignore the prior price that I opened today, and we say, rather, forget it, Sunday is it Monday. No, you just give half to this owner and half to that owner. So if that's the halacha, then hechidami delokalia karna. So what would be a case where there is no eating up of the principle that you would be able to say that you just strictly look at whoever's today's day is and you give based on that compensation? So it's a pretty easy answer. Kigon shehiko al yado. What it means is it's a temporary injury. He breaks his hand. So right now you hurt him. His compensation today is hurt, but he'll heal. He'll get better and he'll be totally fine. And there is no devaluation of the principal. And therefore we don't look at the inherent court ownership and give half to them and half to the other. Rather, we just give the money to whoever owned that day based on the compensation for that day. That's a very good question. I did not look into it too much. I was wondering myself, would you then? I still think it's just principally because maybe you could get him to do work. It's a good question. I don't have a great answer. I'm thinking that either it's just like api din, if we're looking at it categorically from the perspective, not of like nezek, which is your value has forever changed, but sheves, you can't work. Maybe we take into account, okay, so we're just going to do it on the day that it happened. But if he can't work the next 4 days, it is possible, and I'm not saying it's not possible, that, okay, yeah, so then Monday you'd also give to the Rabbi and Tuesday. But if it's 4 days for him and 3 days for him, that's where we're going to go. It's still not going to be equal. It's still based on the day-to-day thing. It's a good question. I had it myself, and I didn't look into it. So we're going to save that for next time.
If you're paying half and half, and you're splitting it.
Yeah, only in the Mechalia Karna case. Only if his principal is devalued, like he gets killed.
Yeah, so okay. You're going to pay 15 and then half of...
What he could be sold as, yeah. Because it's a different payment for each. The slave owner gets Knas, which is just a flat rate, and the Yarshim get Kofar. Okay. All right, fine. So, also a good question.
Is the Yarshim of Eved
Kanani? You're saying now that he's freed. No, let's go fundamentally. Fundamentally, if you kill somebody, they get kofar. So in this case, the Yarshim of an Eved Kanani, well, let's say, this could be fast, but let's say, you're saying, how could it be that he's half for so long? But in theory, what if he then marries a Jewish woman and, has kids or, he's half Eved. He's half Eved.
He still has Yarshim. When he has children or not, that means that he has Yarshim.
Does he?
Well, he's a ger of sorts. Yeah, he's the ger of sorts.
He's
half ger, meaning his Jewish half. What we're going to give to his non-Jewish children? It's another good question. Liyar Shalom, you see right here, but you cheat. Wow. Wow. Okay, I didn't go ahead. Ulahalan Tishal Gemara Mehechan Lo Yarshim. Literally writing the Gemara over here. Okay. So that question we're going to have. The first question of shouldn't it, in theory, I mean, a technical answer I could give you, Ari, is no, it's a type of injury that's only a Sunday injury. He'll be back Monday. What happens if it's a 4-day injury? I was thinking that I'm not sure. The next question will be asked ahead in the Gemara. All right. Maybe if I get Monday, we'll have that answer. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Vela hechi dami dilo kaya karna kigon. She called you out of his empty out of his own falach. So fine. So now, okay, this one little section is a bit of the confusing part. So we've now established that in that opening case, that if someone is a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin and he gets injured, that you give the money to whoever owned that day of production. The Gemara then said, well, shouldn't we then say each day he's its own person and he can marry a shivcha this day and a Jewish woman that day? No, we don't look at him fundamentally changing intrinsic value every single day, just from the compensation perspective. And but then why wouldn't we say the same thing if he gets killed, that he should, the payment should go to whoever had that day of payment? So the answer is no, death is different because then the principle is forever gone and therefore you got to go back to the source. Okay, but in the opening case where it's only a temporary injury and therefore we look, notwithstanding Ari's question, what if it lingers a few days? Okay, keep that in the back burner. I'll look into it. But why do we, if we look at each day, you know, master, personal, so now we have the following question. So the Gemara says, Hanicha la'abaye. So that brisa works well with abaye. De'amar, no sin lo sheves gedola, v'sheves katana. That when a person gets injured in a temporary fashion, you give them both sheves gedola and sheves katana. Sheves gedola is basically what we're going to call nezek. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, I mean, just even looking at the first few lines, like Rashi, three lines down for the skinny lines, sheves gedola v'sheves katana. Sheves gedola hu picheis damav limchar achsha b'shuk v'hu nezek. This is what we call nezek. How much should my value go down in the marketplace based on this injury? I broke my elbow, so I used to be worth $1 million in the marketplace. Now I'm only worth $500,000 in the marketplace. That's Nezek, basically, what they're calling Sheves Gedola. And Sheves Katana is basically Sheves. Sheves Katana is basically the amount of money that I'm losing in the temporary interim that I'm not able to go and work. The truth is, even Nezek is somewhat temporary for some injuries. It could be that you're going to get better eventually, but right now, your value went down. But it's more of like a fundamental type of assessment to your value versus Sheves Katana, which is just the work that you can't accomplish it right now. So
he gets an injury in his contract here. You know, I mean, even though it's going to get better.
Right. So time is everything, I guess. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I don't know if we could be sports mishalman. This would have been very simple. Okay. So, fine. So that's what Abaye says. Shapir. So then I understand, meaning there's going to be a nezek payment and a temporary injury to the victim. So now I understand what our Bryce is talking about, because when the Bryce says when you injure the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, that half the payment, the nezek, goes to the master, that is considered to be a nezek type of, that is under the category of nezek. It's a fine. It's not called sheves. It's like a flat rate. That's what the Gemara is asking. I understand how Abaye can understand that brisa. Ela l'Rava to Amar Eino Nosin Lo Ela Shivto. But Rava, who says no, you only give him Sheves. You don't give him Nezek in a temporary injury. A person doesn't receive Nezek, any devaluation fundamentally in a temporary injury. Shebechol Yom Bayom. You only give him the Sheves for each and every day. Like, okay, what work did he miss that day? Well, if you apply, that's a fundamental machlokes between Abaye and Rava regarding a temporary injury. Well, now, if you plug that into that opening brisa that we had, that was a case of being gored by a shor. Hi, shor who? The shor eno mishalim ela nezek. Sorry. And a shor only pays nezek. Wait, now let me just... And not sheves. So then I flipped it. Move on to evshalim shabit nezek. Sheshav. 1 second. Rechaim. We do a bit. Brisa la'el. The game in. Like, I know it's number yom shor rabo. Yom shor atzma la'atzma. Okay, I take it once. I flipped one thing. So Rava actually says that you only pay the nezek, not the sheves. Another Rava says only pay the sheves. Rava says you only pay the nezek, not the sheves. So here is the question. The question is the following: that Sorry, Rava says you only pay the Sheves, not the Nezek. You only pay the Sheves, not the Nezek. So one more time. Sheves is viewed as like a day-to-day thing. What work did I miss that day? Nezek is viewed, again, even though it could be temporary or more long-term, as more of like a fundamental status. Like, what am I worth now? So Rava says, and a passing injury, you only pay Sheves. You're not going to also pay Nezek. If that's the case, that in a passing injury, you only pay Sheves and you're not going to pay Nezek. One second. I keep messing it up. Rava says you only pay Nezek and not Sheves. So Rava says you only look at the actual value and not the day-to-day thing. So how then can we explain the prior Brisa, the opening Brisa, that says we treat him for Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin as like a day-to-day injury? Well, if it's today's I'm owned by my Eved, then the money goes to the Eved. If tomorrow I'm owned by myself, then the money tomorrow would go to myself. Abaye thinks that you do pay Sheves for a passing injury, and Sheves works links up to this notion of day-to-day. But Rava thinks you would only pay Nezek for a passing injury, not Sheves. So we should always split the value between the owner and the Eved himself, according to Rava, because the notion of Sheves doesn't exist when a shore injures you. And that's based...
Rava maintains that the damager need not pay the victim for the decrease in his principal value, because the decrease is only temporary. He must, however, pay the victim for all his lost wages. Not Nezek, just Sheves. Rava says just Sheves, not Nezek.
Not here it's saying, one second. Sure, patur legamrei. Dehei dvarim gabe adam fine. Nechsiv veloshar. Fine, one second. Give me one second. So according to Rava, so he's only going to pay Sheves. He's not going to pay Nezek. He's not going to pay devaluation. So sure only pays Nezek, I guess is what it's saying. So I take it back. So Rava says that in a temporary injury, since there is no permanent devaluation, we don't give you Nezek. We don't give you this, well, how much would be sold in the marketplace? To ours, but yeah, today, it happens to be bad timing. My value went down as a contract year, but ultimately, we expect me to fully recover. So there fundamentally is no Nezek payment in that case. So that's what Rava thinks is true by any temporary damage. So now if we go back to, and you only pay Sheves of the lost wages of that day. So I think the question is that the payment that is coming from a shore, you only pay Nezek payment based on the injury of a shore. You don't pay Sheves payment based on the injury of a shore. And if that's the case, then how could Rava explain that Brisa, that there's some sort of Nezek, that there's some sort of...
There's no payment.
Rava says you only get Sheves, but a shore only pays Nezek, not Sheves. Fine. So then how could you have anybody payment? If a shore only pays Nezek and not Sheves, and Rava thinks that there's no Nezek here, so how could there be a payment? So Ibayis Ema Kishiko Adam. Either Rava understands that case that he was struck by a person and a person does pay Nezek. The Ibayis Ema, Mamerhi, Mamer Larava Lo Sphirlai. Okay, this is another Mamer by an Amora. And Rava is not bound to another Mamer by an Amora. It's not a Tana. All right. Period. A little bit. I found this a little bit confusing, but hopefully going weiter, not so bad. All right.
One, yes. Let me force you, because you've been freed by your other master, to be free. That first master, isn't it a form of grumma that he freed you on the second owner?
So I think you still, meaning he has to be paid. The slave ultimately will pay him back for whatever he lost, but then he'll get his freedom. So I think from a financial point, he'll be made whole, but maybe that's not what he wanted.
Okay.
Also, Grumma Ben Ezekiel is putter. Grumma Ben Ezekiel is putter in general anyways, even if there would be Nezek. I think that's a general principle.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Ibailhu, new concept. Ibailhu shkoyach. Me'ukav get shikrar. So let's say somebody is just lacking in get shikrar. So the master has decided to free him, or maybe like in this case has been forced to free him in the Chatzi case. So now fundamentally he is no longer working for the master. The master no longer gets his payros, but he has not yet given him a get shechrer. We saw on the prior amud that there's a prior daf, I should say, that there's either you could redeem him through kesef or give him a get shechrer. So I guess in this case it's going to be through a get shechrer. So but he has not yet received his get shechur. What is the status of this slave? So it's going to go through a few different nafkaminas or cases to prove one way or another. So do we say, the first question is, yesh lo kenas, that if in that interim period he would be killed, that the master would receive kenas payment, he would get the 30 shekels from whosoever shor hamuad killed him. Oh, because after all, he's my slave. I haven't freed him yet. Oh, ein lo kenas, or does he not get kenas? Because kesef shloshim shkolim yitin ladonav amarachmana v'hai lavadonhu. So do we say, now it's going to spell it out, that the Torah says you give 30 shekel kesef to his master, and this is not his master because he's freed fundamentally. I mean, practically from a financial perspective, he's freed. O Dilma, Kivin de Mechuster get shichur, Adon Karina Bey. Or since he's lacking to get shichur, he's still called as Adon. So it's a very simple question that do we call him as Adon in this interim period where he has freedom? He told him he's free. Don't work for me. I don't get your payros. But he has not yet given him the get shichur. What is his status then? So Tashma, so let's bring a raya from that brisa that we opened with. If Reuven Shor Hamuad kills, sorry, this is the second brace we saw. Someone who's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, no sin chatzi knas l'rabo v'chatzi kofer l'yorsho. So he gives half penalty to the Rebbe and half to the master and half kofer payment to the yorshim. So my lav commissioner achrona. So what is this case of someone who's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin? Is this not like the final conclusion of our mission, where both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that if you have somebody in the status of a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, we force the master to free him to get him out of this scenario? Like, what could be a case that Bryce is talking about where there even is a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin for a shor to gore to death? Must it not be the conclusion of our Mishnah where everybody agrees, even Beis Hillel, that you have to free him? So probably the case is that he's been told that he's going to be freed, because right when you become a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, that clause is going to kick in that you have to be freed fully. So probably, you know, fundamentally right now he's free, but he hasn't yet been given his get shechur. Isn't that what the case is? And yet the braisa tells us that half the payment goes to his rabbo, which means even in that situation where he's told he's freed, but he has not been given a get shechur, his rabbo would still collect the knas. He's still fundamentally considered to be his master. So my lab commission achrona, and then you plug in all that logic. Love commission rishona. No, that case is talking about the mission rishona, where there still is an opinion that they still think a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin can exist forever like that. He didn't take into account the kasha of Beis Shammai, and that's the case. So it's not like a situation where he's told he's being freed, he's going to be freed, just lacking a get shichur. He is fully a half eved, and that's why his rabba would receive half the knas. But if it was the mission achrona, where he's in that interim status, we don't know if the rabbi would still receive the knas. Okay, so one failed proof in that direction. Tashma, hippel es shino, misimeis eno. So let's say the following happens. The master blinds the eye and knocks out the tooth opposite. He knocks out the tooth and blinds the eye of his evi kanani. Usually, either one of these results in freedom for the evi kanani. That's what the Torah says. So if he knocks out his tooth, he's now a free man. He doesn't get payment for the tooth, but he goes free, so that's a pretty good deal. But then, I guess in the same action or right after, he then blinds his eye. So does he get paid for that blinded eye? Because now he's a free guy. Yotze v'shino v'nosin t'me einav. That's what the Bryce says. Yeah, he goes free with his tooth and he gets the payment for his eye. The payment for his eye is, again, whatever he'd be sold on at the marketplace, lacking an eye versus having an eye. That difference is what he's owed. So v'i amar yesh lo knas v'knas l'rabo. Now, if you want to say that in general, in this interim period where someone knows he's going free, he doesn't have to work for his master anymore, he is just lacking that document to get shichur. If you want to say in that period, the money of a knas would go to his rabbo, that if he gets injured, then the 30 shekels, if he gets killed, then the 30 shekels will go to his master, because he's still technically owned. Hashta chavle be'achrini, yavi le rabbi. So wait, so now you want to tell me that if someone else injures him in this interim period, his master would collect because he doesn't yet have a get shichur. You mean to tell me that if the rabbi himself injures him, then the master has to pay him? Meaning it's assuming right now that this Eved, who tooth got knocked out, so he's going free, and then right away his eye gets knocked out. So now in this status, he's basically what we've been discussing before. Like, he knows he's going free. He's fundamentally been freed as an Eved. He just hasn't yet received his get shichur. Practically what's going on here, once his tooth gets knocked out, he has to go free, but his master doesn't have a get waiting for him right when he knocks at his tooth, and then right away he knocks at his eye. So he's in this interim status. He's going free. He doesn't yet have a get shichur. And the price is clear that he receives money for his eye. So doesn't this automatically basically prove to us that in this situation that the master would still receive the knas payment Sorry. Since the Eved, doesn't this prove that the master wouldn't receive the knas payment? Since a master has to pay the Eved here, like basically what that means is he's free. Because not just that he's free, but logically, would it make sense that if someone else were to come and injure him, I get the money? That's because that's what we're suggesting. But now that I injure him, you get the money. No, I should get the money back. Yeah, guess what? You were owed money, but since you're my slave and I'm still your master, I haven't yet given you get chikr, that money that I owe you for your eye is coming right back to me. The Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says you get the money, which means in this interim period, he is considered to be not the master's and the master should not collect any knas payment. That's the proof here. So the Gemara continues. Dilma kamada amar eino tzarech. No, but maybe there's a machlokes. There is a machlokes. An Eved who goes free based on knocking out his tooth or his eye doesn't even need a get shechur. Maybe he just goes free automatically. This is an exception. So the Gemara says maybe this Bryce, which assumes that the Eved gets some money, is according to the opinion that he doesn't need a get shechur, which is why he's not in this no man's, you know, this middle zone. But if you hold that he does need to get shechur and he's in the middle zone, then maybe he wouldn't get the money. So the Gemara says it's like a five-way machlokas tanayim. Titania, b'chulan Eved yotze ben lecheiros, b'tzarech get shechur. Always when Eved goes free, he needs to get shechur. Rabbo. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Even if Rabbi Shmuel says, even if it's through his eye or through his tooth, Rabbi Meir Omer Eino Tzarech. Meir says no. In this situation, he doesn't go free. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tzarech. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Kima Omer Tzarech. So it was like a five-way machlokes tanayim. Under these circumstances, would the Eved Kanani need to get shechur? So maybe this Bryce is holding like the opinion that he doesn't need to get shechur, and that's why he would get the money for his eye. But had he needed to get shechur and he didn't get it yet, then maybe he wouldn't get the money for his eye. It would stay with the master. And so who do we pass? Like, there's five different opinions. Hamachrin lifnei chachamim omer nir divrei Rabbi Tarfon b'shem ba'ayin. So the chachamim basically said that Rabbi Tarfon, who says eino tzarech, he doesn't need to get shechur, he goes automatically free. Makes sense by shem ba'ayin if it's his tooth or his eye. Hol v'torah zachsalo. Since the Torah said explicitly that you go free, those are the two examples the Torah gives by shem ba'ayin. So you need to get shechur. The Torah says you're free, buddy. Like you don't need to get shechur. You're out. And now it makes sense that that's why he gets some money if his shein gets knocked out. Then his eye gets knocked out. He's automatically free after the shein, so he gets some money for the eye. V'dibur Rabbi Akiva, v'shari yivarim. But Rabbi Akiva says that, no, he still needs a get shechur, even when he leaves through entry. That's for his finger, for his toes, for his nose, for his other yivarim, where it's not explicit in the Torah. So, all right, fine. Then you need a shar shechur. Whole k'nas chachamim. Since that's just the k'nas chachamim, the Torah doesn't say, if I cut off his finger, he has to go free. But since the chachamim said so, we still make him give him a get shechur. Hol the knas chachamim hu. Knas hai cry de darshina. Hai cry ka darshina. So what do you mean this is a knas? The Gemara elsewhere darshins that just like your eye and your tooth set you free, so too your finger and your nose set you free. What do you mean it's a knas of the chachamim? The chachamim made it up. Ella ima ho umidrash chachamim. All right, since it's a midrash chachamim, therefore it's not explicit in the Torah, so we're going to make you get shechur. One of the explanations is, if someone sees that, you know, an Eved with his finger cut off is just marrying a free Jewish woman, and an Eved Kanani marries a free Jewish woman, so they might come to, and it has no get shechur, they might come to think, oh, okay, so my Eved Kanani can marry a free Jewish woman. It's not true. He's free. But they're like, well, he doesn't have a get shechur. So if it's one of the things from the Torah, if they see he's missing an eye or missing a tooth, well, they know the Torah says if somebody's missing an eye or a tooth, he gets sent free. That's why this Eved Kanani who lacks a shtar shechur is marrying a Jewish woman. That I get. But he's missing a nose. He's missing a finger. But he doesn't have a get shechur. And he's marrying a Jewish woman. People might get confused. That's why the Chachamim are going to demand a shtar shechur in that case. Okay. Hold here. Okay. The next line is real quick. We'll hold here.